I want to ask you a question. I would like for you to think about a question or an idea. If you were to answer this particular question, how would you answer it? Are you spiritually fit? So we live in a world in which exercise is very important. We always talk about exercise and eating right, doing those things so we can have a good quality of life. But God also wants us to have a good spiritual quality of life. So I ask you, are you spiritually fit? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, the Bible says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, one to thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come." See, that tells us that, hey, exercise is good. We have benefits from it now, and we'll also benefit in the life to come. When you think about it, I want to give you five basic spiritual exercises that can help you maintain and exemplify the faith. The first one is this, quite simple. Read the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, let's take a look at what the scriptures say. Just want to show and highlight some things that we know already, but it's good to be reminded that the scriptures, when they are read, they are beneficial, they are helpful to us because, hey, it's from God. It's for our good, it's for our God, it's for our guarantee, but more importantly, if we execute and live by those things, we will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Do you still desire to grow thereby by God's word? Are you still excited to read it? Because, you know, I can look at my life as a Christian. You go through various stages. There were times where I was super excited, and there was times where I was not so much. So I'm asking you, are you still excited about the word of God and what it can do for you? Turn over to Psalms 19 as we look at this notion of reading God's word, what it can do for us. I want you to look at a couple passages in Psalms. Let's look at the very first Psalm. Very familiar Psalm, but it is filled with some biblical truths that will help us as we strive to do these biblical exercises to understand why we exactly do it. One, we want to grow, but not only do we want to grow, but we also want to learn what to do and what not to do. The Psalm opens up like this. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now that's a mouthful when you think about that very first verse. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Do you want to meditate on it day and night? See, if you meditate on God's word day and night, the scripture saying, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now that's good news. If you are like a tree planted by the rivers of waters and you meditate on God's word day and night, you're going to always be able to do what it is that you need to do. Verse 4 says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now that lets us know there's a right way and a wrong way. But we need to make sure we practice these spiritual exercises and familiarize ourselves with God's word so we can, hey, do what he wants us to do. Turn over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Now that first spiritual exercise is we need to read the word of God. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Because Timothy said we should exercise ourselves toward godliness. And I believe that's why we do come here, to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Psalms 19 and verse 7. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now, when you look at that, that's a beautiful passage. The Bible is right, but more than that, it also warns us, but if we keep them, we're going to be blessed. The second spiritual exercise that we must do, not only must we read the Word of God, but to be spiritually fit, we must spend time in prayer. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, this is a familiar passage, but we can never be reminded of one of the privileges that we need to exercise and utilize is prayer. We need to spend time in prayer. Because see, when we spend time in prayer, there's some things that others cannot understand. But when you spend time in prayer, the Lord understands what you're saying. Philippians 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Do you guys let your requests be known unto God? Because he already knows what we need before we ask, but he still wants to hear from us. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." So that peace that you could obtain through prayer, you know, the peace of God, you know, you have to spend time in prayer. And when you do that, it's a beautiful privilege. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. See, there's something else we get when we pray to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible lets us know that not only when we pray, we can have, you know, the peace of God that's going to comfort us, but we can also know that when we come, we don't have to be timid. We don't have to be ashamed. We can come boldly to the throne of God because he wants to hear from us. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We should find comfort in knowing that we have a high priest that understands us." Because of that, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, that's like an ATM card, access to mercy. You need to come to the throne, because who don't need mercy? Sometimes you have to ask the Lord to help you as you go through your day, as you deal with different things in life. But the second exercise is to spend time in prayer. So we should read the Word of God, spend time in prayer, but we should also should sing praises to the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 13 and verse 15. We also have a song that we sing when it comes to the Lord. Every once in a while, you know, I don't know what you sing, but sometimes I might sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Because as you go through your life, you got to have a song. You're going to have some troubles, but singing always seems to make you feel a little bit better. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Just like we sung those hymns tonight, giving thanks to his name, we should sing in regards to the Lord. Because when we sing, we are also reminded of his goodness, as well as his grace and his mercy, as well as his forgiveness. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. As we look at this third spiritual exercise that can help us to be physically fit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." See, when we sing, we're able to do all those things, but we should also be thankful. See, when you think about how great God is, Do you really believe that when you sing those songs, how great thou art? You know, when you want to stand up for Jesus, when you want to be a hard fighting soldier, do you believe those songs? Because when you think about it, those are the things that you need to sing and remind yourself so you can remain spiritually fit. Now, the fourth spiritual exercise that we must participate in is this. We must fellowship with the brethren. We must fellowship with the brethren because there's a blessing in fellowship. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, it teaches us that the spiritual exercise of fellowship with the brethren is important. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." See, we need to encourage each other, and we need to exhort one another daily. Not just, you know, on a daily basis, but we should strive to try to exhort and to encourage one another to be about God's business. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 also gives us another thing that we should consider when it comes to fellowship with the brethren, how we can be spiritually fit. See, when you fellowship with one another, you're also able to share with one another different things that you're going through. You're able to pray for one another. You're also able to help one another, provide a word of encouragement. Verse 24 saying, "Let us consider one another." See, when we come and we assemble, we should consider one another. And when we consider one another, our aim should be to provoke unto love and to good work. So when you come here to the assembly and you fellowship with your brothers, are you trying to encourage them to see what's going on with them, to see if you can provoke them to love? Are they doing the same thing for you? Maybe you come and say, hey brother, hey sister, do you got anybody that you want to teach the gospel to? You got any Bible study? Anyone we can visit? Anyone we can talk to? So when we meet and we have our life group, we should also be trying to provide a way to provoke one another to love and good works. Another reason we need to have fellowship with the brethren, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." See, maybe we need to start calling each other on Friday, Saturday, throughout the week, encourage them. Encouraging others, hey, the first day of the week is coming. Are you going to be there? I'm looking for you. God is going to be there. Will you be there? But we need to do this more, because if we do that, we will be spiritually fit. See, we need to read the Word of God, spend time in prayer, sing praises to God, fellowship with the brethren. And the last exercise that I say I'll submit to you is this. We need to do good works. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. See, after all, it is about being spiritually fit, because being spiritually fit would mean when it's all said and done, you will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, because you have exercised yourself unto godliness." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So as you think about that, if we are his workmanship that was created for him, all the good works that are to be done have already been prescribed and set up by the Lord for you to do those good works. And as you think about that, if it's our duty, because we are the church, we are his workmanship, we are to do those good works that need to be done. Hence, if we do good works, we're about his business and we're on our way to heaven. Turn to Titus chapter 2. We'll make that Galatians 6. Let's look at something in Galatians 6 and let's look at 9 and 10. Because when it comes to good works, sometimes you might say, you know, hey, I've been visiting, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. And maybe you might say, I'm tired of doing this. We need somebody else to take this over. I'm mindful of my brother Donald Beans. He's been doing the Taylor Home and Calvin Payne. They've been going for a whole bunch of times and, you know, for a long time. they've been steadfast in that work. And some people might say, you know, hey, man, how y'all do that every second Sunday of the month? Y'all go and, you know, that's a long day. But Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10, there might be other works that you do that others don't know that you do on a weekly basis. But the scripture tells us, because we know we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, let us do those good works. Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So let's not grow weary. Those individuals that come to the Taylor home and they come and they sit and they want to have a worship service, they are pleased when you come. They are thankful when you come. And they are encouraging when you come. And we should never get tired of doing those good works. Why? Because there's a soul that has an opportunity to hear what God says and what he expects for them to do. Turn to Titus chapter 2. After all, it's all about being spiritually fit when it's said and done, because I believe everyone that's here tonight would like to be spiritually fit. We might not be physically fit, but we would like to be spiritually fit. And when you're spiritually fit, you're able to do what God would have you to do. Titus 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, when it comes to living for the Lord, he requires that you be honest with who you are. Because he's came and he's hung, he's bled, and he's died. God did everything he could do. Christ did everything that he could do. And the Holy Spirit did everything that he could do to make sure that we had the provisions to make good decisions and good choices. Now you have to ask yourself, are you really about being spiritually fit? Do you read the Word of God? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you sing praises to God? Do you fellowship with the brethren? Do you do good works? Because if you do all those things according to what the passages that we read, we know that, hey, the Bible is right. It's not wrong. We're not going to lack anything. We will be able to accomplish and do what God will have us to do. Now, when you think about that, if you read the Word of God, you spend time in prayer, you sing praises, you fellowship with the brethren, and you do good works according to God's word to the best of your ability, turn to Revelation chapter 2. This is what the end will be like for you. If you maintain those things, this is what the end will be like for you. The Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you are faithful unto the death, you will receive a crown of life. And some of the ways in which we can be faithful unto death is by, number one, reading God's word. Number two, spending time in prayer. Number three, singing praises unto God. Number four, fellowshipping with the brethren. And number five, doing good works. If we do those things, God is faithful and just, and he will allow for us to accomplish what it is that he set out for us to do. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Which is more important to you? Physically exercising, seeing little results now, profits little. I played sports for a long time in my life, and my mother can tell you this. When me and my brother was exercising, we used to go before school. School started at 7:15. We'd be up there at 5:30. We would work out. I had a weightlifting class. I worked out during that period. And in my last period, I worked out. I would work out sometimes 3 times a day. And when I look at the scriptures, yeah, that exercise is good. It profits a little. It won't profit as much as working out for God will have us to. so I would encourage you, as you think about all the things that you do in life, make sure that you are spiritually fit when it's all said and done. Because when you stand before Christ and you stand before God in the judgment, you're going to have to make sure you're spiritually fit. Because if you're not spiritually fit, it's not going to be good for you. But I want to encourage you, read the Word of God, spend time in prayer, sing praises, fellowship with the brethren, do good works. Those things will help you maintain spiritual fitness. If you're here tonight and never obeyed the gospel, God wants you to know and understand. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, provided a way for you to be saved. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Since he came and he hung, bled, and died, all he wants you to do is hear that, believe that, understand that. Be willing, after you understand that, to repent. Change your mindset about all things that are contrary to God's will. Once you do that, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you do that, you'll put him on in baptism. If you do that, all you have to do now is exercise yourself unto godliness, remain faithful unto death, and he's promised to give you a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive that crown of life. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and hell is a prepared place for unprepared people. You decide whether you're prepared or unprepared. If you need a prayer, you know someone else, please come by. Together we stand and sing the invitational song.